You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey, Deshaun Watson Really Is Gonna Get Traded Spectacular. And now, your host, the man who will struggle to employ even the slightest bit of objectivity in this discussion, the old Zeuser himself, Dan Hanzeus.
Hey, everybody, how you doing today? The old Zeuser here, joined in a virtual room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. Yes, it is indeed the, hey, Deshaun Watson really is going to get traded spectacular, and we cannot wait to dig into all of the madness surrounding one of the great talents in football. The report came out this morning, ESPN's Adam Schefter, that Watson requested a trade from the Texans officially. Watson made the request to the team weeks ago, sources told ESPN. Ian Rappaport had some similar reporting later today. And now here we are, boys, in a place that we've really been or never been before. We've never tread in this territory, Greg, a quarterback at this level. Jay Cutler is an example, a far distant cousin. When he was a hot shot in the league, but he was never truly a superstar. Deshaun Watson is, and it looks like he's on the move. Are you buying now? Is he definitely going?
No, I don't want to ruin like the theme of the show, but the fact that, you know,
a contrarian to the bitter end, Rosenthal.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, if I had to guess, more likely than not. But number what? One, you just said that the trade request came weeks ago, and that was before the Texans hired David Culley, which, you know, we can mention he was the receivers coach in Baltimore. Before the Texans decided to keep their offensive coordinator, Tim Lewis, who Watson's a huge fan of. I do think the fact the reports are coming out today indicates that Watson's camp is the one putting out there, and they don't really care about all that coaching mumbo jumbo, and they still absolutely want out. But I'm doing this like piece next week of like what, you know, what each team can do to make, you know, next year's Super Bowl. And my thing for the Texans is like, don't trade Deshaun Watson. It's still not over. He's still on your roster. You might not find a guy this good for 30 or 40 years. Exhaust every possible avenue to make it not happen. And maybe they're too dumb to do that, but I'm still leaving that little door open, little crack.
It is fair to question if they have the wherewithal to make the intelligent choices at this point from here on out to keep Deshaun Watson. Because the one thing that doesn't appear to be pushed by PR or Deshaun Watson's camp, I think it's just legit that the relationship is broken, and it's broken yep. from the highest order in Houston. And, you know, David Culley, I think in another scenario, would be a celebrated hire for the kind of career he's had to some degree, what he's gone through to be. He's going to be the oldest head coach on the day that he starts. But I don't know why anyone accepted any of these jobs with this situation, you know, burning the way it is. But if you are the Texans. If anything, you can use patience. You don't have to suddenly, oh, the Dolphins want Deshaun Watson? Let's just make that happen for them. Like, I don't think it's going to be quite that neat. But you have lost this quarterback. You've lost the centerpiece of your organization, who's not J.J. Watt, and you've probably lost J.J. Watt, too. So it's a pretty dark time for the new people in place to be taking over and having press conferences trying to make us sound excited about the Texans, the fan base, I feel for them.
That's a good point, Mark. That was the next point I was going to make, that, listen, I played some like A-grade douchebag celebration music at the top of the show. It's an exciting thing to talk about as a football fan because, like I said, this is uncharted territory, the idea of a player of Watson's magnitude be on the open market. This is fun for everyone except for Houston Texans fans, and that sucks. So we understand that, Texans fans. If you're listening, if there's one podcast where you want to jump off, we will not hold it against you. But this is not dancing on the grave of Deshaun Watson's Hall of Fame speech in 15 years and talking about how great his relationship with the Texans was and Houston fans. That's a bummer that it's probably not going to end up that way, where he's a lifetime Houston Texans player. And Seth Payne, when he was on our show a couple of weeks back, who's obviously plugged into all things Houston sports down there, you know, he mentioned it. Texans came into the league in 2002. They waited 15 years as fans to have someone that was a star at that position. And I'll tell you, as a Jets fan, I can tell you that's kind of the low end for a lot of teams, how long it takes to find a franchise quarterback of Watson's ilk. So this is a very difficult situation in Houston. And Greg, I agree with you. They're going to try everything in their power to make sure this doesn't happen. But at the same time, the fact that the Schefter report's out here now, and it's all very public, it feels like behind the scenes, things have already been exhausted. And the fact that the news comes hand in hand, basically, with David Culley entering the picture, none of it feels like just happenstance. It feels like he's officially setting the wheels in motion. Let's get this thing going.
Absolutely. And there's also a chance the Texans aren't that interested in doing everything they can to keep him. I mean, they haven't really done that by their actions. They could have done that back in December. I mean, they could have done that by getting rid of Easterby. They could have done that by Cal McNair taking ownership of the team he owns and taking control of the situation. And that hasn't happened. So I remember the Alex Smith trade, and I know, you know, Alex Smith going from Kansas City to Washington is not the same as Deshaun Watson. But I remember at the time thinking, well, this is because it happened during the Super Bowl week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday night of Super Bowl week when the news broke. And I remember thinking, like, okay, I've covered the league a while now. Like, that, nothing like that's ever happened at that time. And it changed the timeline. And we've seen some other trades and, you know, stuff last year that were agreed to early, too. It did, I think, maybe get these teams in the mindset that, okay, his agent, who, by the way, was Jalen Ramsey's agent too, and got Ramsey out of there, that, okay, now's the season. Like, if you're the Jets or the Panthers or whoever you are, like, okay, if we put together our massive package of trade offer right now, we might be able to get the deal done this week. It's possible, at least. And I think the Alex Smith trade and a few other trades that have been made since then, so it says, like, it might not be waiting around all offseason.
I would also just note that there are people out there that, you know Deshaun Watson and say that this is not he is not money oriented the way that some athletes would be, that he's fine losing money, losing bonuses to make his point. So for me, it kind of fits. The ages are different, but I see it a little bit more as a Carson Palmer type scenario where he basically said, look, I'm done with this organization. I don't need to play. You don't need to pay me, but I'm not playing for you anymore. And ultimately, they moved him, and they moved him for a lot because they were dealing with Hugh Jackson on the other end, who wound up as a Bengals employee like less than a calendar year later.
All right. So now that we've set the
ground. Poor Hugh just getting in a shot in from the Browns fan.
Well, I mean, he got – that was a major trade. I mean, that is the closest sort of DNA to this, where the quarterback was so unhappy with the highest levels of the team that he simply said, I'm done, and they had to move
him. He called it the greatest trade in NFL history, Hugh Jackson. Always selling. Love that guy.
And I don't want to pile on the snark with the David Culley hire, but a 65-year-old coach – Andy Reid said he had many a cheeseburger with him in 18 years together.
That's good. That's kind of an endorsement. The passing game coordinator with the Ravens, which a team not known for its passing game. The wide receivers coach on that Chiefs team that didn't have a touchdown that entire season. Listen, I'm not saying it's his fault. I have to say what his resume is in part, and he was the wide receivers coach that year. This is not a hot shot hire, one that I would think Watson would be like, wait a second, you know.
They do know each other. They got real tight at a Pro Bowl or something, and I don't know about real tight, but there is a relationship. But this all happened before David Culley, and maybe if they had gone and hired, you know, Sala or someone, that this could have been righted. But I don't think that Culley has anything to do with this at this point. That's what Ian has sort of said, that these are two different ships in two different parts of the sea.
All right, so let's dig into – let's play a game here. Let's play agent to Deshaun Watson. Greg, you're big on agents and who they are and their connections and all that. For the purposes of this game, I don't even really need to know the guy's name. If we want to name him, we can. But we're going to take on the identity of this agent, and we're going to spin a wheel. This is my son Jack and Harry's The Floor is Lava. It's a pretty good game. We play it. It's a board game. It has a wheel, and I have now repurposed it for the purposes of this podcast. I let them know this is dry erase marker, so that's not a problem in terms of the future of The Floor is Lava. And what we're going to do is go through all the teams that make sense as a possible destination point for Deshaun Watson, or get through as many as we can before this gets boring and tedious. And we'll play the role of agent, taking turns selling Deshaun Watson himself on the destination. Okay, before we do that, let's go through the teams that make sense. I'm going to go division by division, and let me know what teams should be hypothetically in the wheel and can be chosen in this game. Buffalo, nay.
No.
Miami, yes, definitely. New England.
Yes.
Yes. Jets.
No.
Yes. That's what you hope. The Titans.
No, I think eliminate the whole division.
Let's get rid of the whole AFC South. Because there is no way the Texans are going to trade the greatest player in franchise history next to J.J. Watt in division and face him twice a year. So X him out. All right. And AFC North, Pittsburgh.
Well, I put some stock into the report that Ian put out there, Ian Rapport, that they're going to try to avoid trading to any team in the AFC. But if we're allowing AFC and we're doing it with the Jets and the Dolphins, then okay, Pittsburgh.
Why not?
Throw it in there.
Yeah, I hardly think they're going to rule out the AFC. They got a deal to make. I would preferably it would send them to the NFC. But if there's a beautiful deal in their conference, I would think they would think long and hard.
A beautiful deal.
Yes. Baltimore, no, right? Cleveland, no. Yes. They could definitely upgrade a quarterback.
I think they'd have to do it behind the scenes, but I know what you're saying, but I don't think they would explore
this. He took that seriously. No, he's just
no, because honestly, like,
there's no chance. There's not a chance.
Here's the thing. Ian has said that more than half the league. And so wait, why would I don't know about no chance.
I'm not antagonizing here. Why would the Browns be out of this? This is Deshaun
Watson. I don't think they'd be out, but I think it would cause a lot of problems if you found out that they if they went after this. But I would put them in the
They've got a young quarterback that they believe in. I believe that. And
for this game, though, I don't think the Browns are a centerpiece.
It's too complicated.
This isn't a Jay Cutler on the market, Greg Rosenthal. This is Deshaun Watson.
No.
And Cincinnati.
I believed in Jay Cutler back then. You know, Jay Cutler at the time was viewed as a top 10 quarterback.
He was, and he was traded from Denver to the Bears for, I believe, multiple number one picks. And it was a big, big deal when it happened.
People gave the Broncos, including me, a lot of grief for it.
Yes.
Ultimately, it was fine getting rid of him, I think.
He was a gifted thrower of the football. And I remember I actually went to Chicago that year in 2009 to see the opening of the U2 360 tour at Soldier Field. I mean, that's some intense stuff right there. And I remember he was on the cover of like multiple magazines in Chicago as the next big thing.
I mean, if he had spent his whole career with Mike and Kyle Shanahan, he would have had an amazing career. But that did not happen.
Mm. All right. Anyway, Cincinnati, they're good with Joe Burrow.
They don't even know how to trade. No.
The AFC West, the Chiefs obviously are a no-go. The Raiders. Yeah, we're going to get the Raiders in this mix, right? The Chargers. No, with Herbert. Denver Broncos. Yes.
Absolutely.
Still looking. All right, now to the NFC. Washington football team and the Giants. Yes, right?
big yes on Washington. I mean, the Giants keep saying we are 100% behind Daniel Jones. I don't realistically think they would get involved.
Little thorny for Gettleman, right. A little too high concept.
Let's leave him out. Dallas and Philadelphia, either of those teams.
Ooh, you know what? Dallas especially, that... It's a little,
I don't know.
You can't imagine. They actually have a legitimate rivalry, the two franchises, Houston and Dallas, and the ownerships. I can't quite imagine that, but there is something spicy there with Dak Prescott being a free agent. I mean, if there's one player in theory available that could approximate Deshaun Watson's value, Dallas has him. So let's throw him in. Why not?
Well, they don't have him, though.
Right, but they could trade him, you know.
All right. Saints?
Franchise trade.
Cap hell, but, you know, his. Deshaun Watson's cap number in 2021 is not too bad. Should we include the Saints?
I wouldn't rule them out as a team that is would look into it, absolutely, because what better way to come out of Drew Brees than to tell your fan base, we pulled off a mega deal for Deshaun Watson. We'll figure out the details. You don't need to, fan base.
Mm. Okay, we'll add him. Tampa Bay, let's keep him out of this. Panthers and Falcons, I'd say yes to both. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think the Panthers, Ian, again, reported today that they are going to be aggressive, and they seem like a prime candidate. And I think Atlanta is under the radar, a sneaky candidate, because, again, they have a quarterback that they could send to Houston that I think would interest them.
I would wonder about the cap hit there. But the Panthers make a lot of sense to me. NFC North, I just got the Bears as a team that makes sense. You guys have another team you want to throw in there?
Well, why not the Lions if you're exploring? Your quarterback is wanting divorce from you.
It's hard to imagine Watson wanting to do that, but yeah.
Sure, I don't think he would want to, but I mean, would they pick up the phone or just say, we're not even going to, why even call? We're the Lions. Like, I don't think that's hopefully their mindset.
Come bite their general manager down came here from the Rams. Detroit. Come bite some knees with me, Deshaun.
But Brad Holmes came from the Rams. How much has he learned about wheeling and dealing from the way that Les Snead operates?
Okay. Just put him down. I don't think they're making the wheel, but they're okay.
All right, all right. In the NFC West, Rams and Niners. I have those two teams, and you want to throw in Seattle and Arizona? Don't think so.
No, and even the Rams feels like would be tough.
All right, I got the wheel here, and I'm going to just throw out five teams that feel like players in this race to start: Panthers, Dolphins, 49ers, the football team, and my Jets. And now I'm going to spin the wheel.
You didn't even put the Dolphins on there? I see what you're doing. You're just trying to, like, steer Deshaun Watson away.
I got the Dolphins on there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the wheel. You see the wheel?
I'm sure
now I can
no
see it. This is an audio program, but I can see it. I appreciate it. And I like the Arcade Fire Funeral album in the background. That was the episode of the Throwback podcast that I did, so that was exciting.
Yes, it was. And that was a great ep. Check it out with Greg Rosenthal. All right, here comes the first spin. Oh, it is the Dolphins that we start with. And wow, as luck would have it, we just so happen to have with us the preeminent Dolphins fan in the building of NFL Media. And we had scheduled to have Matt Money Smith on the show. You heard him in the very top with the intro and the great work from Money. But he was supposed to be on the show today. Technical difficulties. So off the bench is another alum of the Dave Damashek football program. Not a second choice, Henry. Don't look at it that way, but you're here, and we're happy to have you.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
We're great.
That's my Dave Damashek impression.
It's pretty good. All right,
good to see
you. Hank, it is great to see you. And
it's
great
to see you guys, too, as well. How are you?
And we're in your boudoir, which just has my mind just doing all sorts of exercise.
Very nice natural lighting in your room. Very, very nice looking.
It's an electric vibe in there, especially with the laundry basket behind you. So it landed on the Dolphins. You are going to play the role of agent right now for Deshaun Watson, pitching him on the Fins. I will give you about 2 minutes to do it. Go ahead.
Okay. I love it when you guys pretend to be people, so I'm so excited to, you know, as you know, I listen avidly, so I'm excited to get to play this game. So I'm going to be Deshaun Watson's agent. I don't have a name, but I'm going to pretend I'm calling him up on my phone.
No call necessary. You're in the room. You're in the room.
Oh, I'm in the room. Hey, D, what's up? Is one of you guys Deshaun?
I guess we'll take turns being Deshaun, but we'll keep it pretty simple with his answers. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, D. So I'm excited. Like, you've requested a trade from the Texans. I think it's exactly the right thing to do. Let's get out of there. Let's go get you something good. And I don't have to sell you on this. This is going to be pretty short. I know there are people talking about all kinds of teams. If you listen to the Around the NFL, podcast, Dan Hans is this week just put a list together for you of the teams that are likely. But honestly, like, you don't need to get too far down that list, right? Mm. There is one city, there's one team, there's one place that you need to be. It's the fastest rising team in the NFL. It's a team that's gone from the bottom and is going to the top, and you're the last piece. It's the youngest team, or I think the second youngest team in the NFL. They don't have a single player over the age of 30. You don't have to deal with any old people. You can go there and be with guys your age and be the face of this franchise. It's in a state where you don't need to pay tax. Who wants to pay taxes? You're the second highest paid player in the league. You don't want to be paying that state tax. Guess what? You're getting that money. The government's having none. They don't need to pave the roads in Florida. I've given you a clue. This is Miami, okay, right? I just sold you on the business side of it. Football, this is an up-and-coming team. Great coach, like a coach that the players there love. They're going to have to mortgage their future. They're in the middle of a rebuild, and unfortunately, trading for you is going to mean that they may take a step back in terms of bringing in some of the key pieces that they need to at receiver, skill positions, etc. But you know, you can make the players around you better. That the guys that they've had can't do that, so that's fine. So the business side's great, but then what about the rest of it? It's Florida. There's beaches, there's boats, there's what else begins with B that you could enjoy in Florida? The beaches, boat, I don't know, something else. And
how about the state income tax?
And tax.
You said that.
I just said that. I don't know what you're talking about, Deshaun.
I wasn't paying attention to you.
What are you doing? Don't get off Snapchat. this is the most exciting opportunity. Let's call Brian Flores. Let's call Chris Greer. Let's just give them a call now and just see, like, you know, can we get this done? And then we don't even have to bother with any of these other. You want to go to the New York Jets? Like, they're not even the primary team in their city that plays football. Why would you want to go there? There are so many better
That felt
places.
Unnecessary.
Well, I'm sorry, Deshaun, but that's it.
All right, so time's up. I got to go.
Let's just get this done.
Got to go. All right.
Sounds like a great player-agent relationship right there. Just the rich dialogue.
What do we think about Henry's pitch? And Henry, you can now also critique your own pitch.
Okay.
That's interesting. I would say
I thought it was fantastic. But or add to tell it. Tell me if you think differently.
What's not to like if you could sell the Texans on Tua as being part of the package going in the other way? And, I mean, from a player's angle, Miami is a destination, unquestionably a top two or three destination in the whole country. He could be the king. He could be the king of South Beach for the next, not just his playing career, but, like, you know, Dan Marino's going to – he's on the way out, please, in terms of icon and walking around South Beach. But Deshaun could be that guy for the next 30 or 40 years. I mean, you can go and take a team that's had nothing good happen to it in decades. The table is well set for him to become.
Let me ask you a question, Henry. As now you're a Dolphins fan. Just put on your fan cap. Are you really already out on the Tua is the future thing? I know it's not because this would be an extraordinary situation – but are you amongst the camp that is already kind of seriously worried about Tua being a big time player? It was a very small sample size.
Yeah, like, I mean, to me, this is like a big win situation, right? The big win is if you camp, you've got the ammo. I mean, this is obviously we didn't talk about this as his agent, but the Dolphins do have the ammunition with draft picks, etc., to put together a package that would be interesting to the Texans, I believe. So on that front, I think they're good. I think the big win is the Texans go for it and you can put together the package and you get Deshaun Watson, who's one of the, in my opinion, five best quarterbacks in the NFL and 25 years old and locked up through 2026, I think, in his current contract. And the Dolphins have the cap space to be able to make it work. If it doesn't happen, my biggest worry would be he goes to the Jets, because then you've got two teams in the AFC East with a long-term top five quarterback in the fold with him and Josh Allen.
I feel the same way about your situation.
Exactly. If not, you have Tua. I definitely don't think we've seen enough of Tua. I think it was underplayed, the players that he was had around him at skill positions at the end of the season there when things started going awry were awful. Like he had guys who were playing quarterback in the SEC, playing wide receiver in the NFL a year later, you know, and starting. he definitely didn't get his chance to see it. And I think the Dolphins have a really good plan that they were looking to execute, which was get the quarterback last year as part of as one of three first round picks, and then they've got two more first round picks and two second round picks this year to put the pieces around him.
You're so excited about this.
To me, I don't see this being whichever way. I'd be hugely excited. I love Deshaun Watson.
I could talk myself into the Tua era still.
I definitely think they need to give him at least a year with some great pieces around him rather than trying to throw the ball to.
I think their GM in Houston, you know, tight with Saban, you know, Tua from Alabama. I think Tua has been totally misread. I have hope some optimism that he can be a good and difference-making starting quarterback, that he showed more than people thought and people are being way too quick, and that he does have trade value. More importantly, they have the number 3 overall pick. I mean, they have the number 3 and the number 18 overall pick. So, yeah, it's not as good as 2, but it is right up there. And if it's Tua and 3, you kind of like Tua if you're the Texans. Plus you have the number 3 overall pick. That's pretty exciting. And from the Watson point of view, I mean, yeah, you're taking a pay cut if you get traded anywhere with state income tax, because Texas doesn't have it. And you're saying, okay, that contract you signed, I know money's not important the number one thing to Watson supposedly, but basically getting traded anywhere but Florida and Texas, you're taking a pay cut. That's a pretty big
game and exercise a whole lot shorter if we just want to include the state income tax free destinations.
Have we mentioned the state income tax situation? We're going to spin the wheel again. Henry, do you want to stay on for another spin?
No, I'm going to have to jump. It's wonderful to see you and Greg. Wow. I would love to, but I'm
very busy.
I have a day job.
He is vice president of international. That was his way to make sure we got that in again, to show how successful he's been since he came to America.
I really appreciate it. That's part of the contract I have with you guys. Greg, thank you. You made a convincing case there as well, and I'm preparing to forgive Greg. He did something almost unforgivable yesterday on another podcast with a friend of mine.
You're not going to give the Neil Reynolds podcast a little plug. I didn't do anything unforgivable. I recognize Henry as a kindred spirit. He likes to throw in the jabs to people. I was just
saying what did he do that was offensive? I mean, I can only imagine.
I thought yesterday afternoon I was taking the dog for a walk. I was like, I'll entertain myself with two of my friends, Neil Reynolds, Greg Rosenthal, on a podcast together. About 6 minutes in, Greg says, "I'm an ass." Like your friend Henry Hodgson. Oh, like, what? You know, why would you take that?
He does that sometimes. He can't just speak about himself. He has to invoke other people.
Here's the thing. Henry took that as a compliment. I know he
Henry,
did.
Can you, speaking of Sky Sports, we might edit this out. I don't know. Can you let them know that we noticed that we're not on their press release touting their talent that's going to be involved in Super
good.
Bowl we Sunday?
Yeah, very concerning. Very concerning. Let
them know that we're not angry. We're not looking to force any actions. But just let them know that we have perused the press release that Sky Sports sent out about Super Bowl coverage, and we have noted that we are not mentioned at any point in that release.
Landed with a clunk. Big, gigantic, you know. Okay. Oh, we're not
I'll have the conversation with them. I'm already talking to them on Dan's behalf for some other reasons. But, you know, I will warn them, if they don't fix this stuff and figure this stuff out, Mark will take the book from behind him, titled Chaos, and unleash it on them.
Let them know that
we
saw the Dallas Clark pub. We saw him getting pumped up, but we have not seen any.
You know, you
up.
Guys need to have a middling career as a tight end, being boosted. Ooh, by
now we really can't. Now we really can't put this part in the show. We're keeping it.
No, it's in. All right, Henry. Thank you for joining us,
guys. I love seeing you. I hope you're all well. Send my love to your families and friends and loved ones.
Absolutely. See you.
Bye, handsome.
See ya.
All right, let's spin the wheel once more. Here we go.
This game is moving at a feverish pace.
Yeah, we might not get through all the teams.
Look at that. Okay. I replaced the Dolphins with the Raiders, and that's exactly the spot it runs on. It's starting to make me worry that there's something wrong with the wheel. The Las Vegas Raiders up next. Mark Sessler, for you. How about that? You make the case to Deshaun that the Raiders should be his preferred destination in a trade.
Well, I would say this, Deshaun. You know, I know that we just spoke a few minutes ago, and I talked with you about Miami, but I think when you want to talk about a real destination, a destination of tomorrow.
What happened to your accent?
It's like I'm versatile. I shapeshifter when it comes to these things.
So now we're living in a world where he just keeps calling back 20 different times. Be like, actually, I guess.
This is a very important time
in his career. Yeah, this makes sense.
There's four of us in the room. Who's in the room here? So it's like, all right, I'm talking about the Raiders here. I want to tell you why the Raiders, maybe not the team you would have thought up first. This is a special time to become an Oakland Raider. And number one, the money's going to go through the roof. They've got consistency there. Their coach is not going to suddenly get bounced out and replaced by some sort of Machiavellian plot from the inside. Their coach may be a little Machiavellian, but he's not going anywhere. John Gruden and you, this is a great relationship. You're talking about your issues with relationships with organizations. The Raiders are ready, from what I know, to make this move that they – look, I know Derek Carr is there, but Derek Carr is no more guaranteed money. He is going to be moved stage right. And this is a team right now. You've got Darren Waller. Imagine your career growing with Darren Wallers, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Richard, Josh Jacobs, Nelson Aguilar, Hunter Renfrow. I mean, this offense, which was very exciting a year ago, is set to grow and bloom with you at quarterback. I love this destination. If you want to talk about one of the most historical teams in the league, it's the Raiders. You could go down as an icon along with, Art Shell, Marcus Allen, John Madden, Jim Plunkett, the whole crew. This is a history-making move for you. And you move away from a team that's only been around since 2002 to the ultra-elite gold class of NFL franchises, the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm. Let's do it.
Gold class.
All right. That's a pretty good sell. I like that sell. I think the Raiders, the silver and black, they're in that Cowboys category for me where I think there are a few teams that would move the needle just on selling the brand, and the Raiders are one of them. And the fact that they're in Las Vegas, I think that's an interesting location for them, certainly better than trying to pitch them and going to Oakland Alameda Coliseum to spend your career.
Yeah, the stadium. The stadium's cool.
The stadium's awesome. The city is obviously glitzy and glamorous, and the brand is great. And I guess it kind of might come down to, is John Gruden your cup of tea? Do you feel like he's a guy that you want to get in bed with for the next 10 years? Or do you feel like that's a guy you can't trust?
Like Gruden is a selling point and a non-selling point at the same
time.
Right,
it really depends where you come from.
Yeah. I think it could be a selling point. I think he did the QB camp, QB confidential back in the day with Watson. I think he can scheme up offense. I guess that would be part of the sell, is look at this offensive line. Look at what they've done offensively. It's pretty quarterback friendly with Derek Carr. Now, you might just have to cut Derek Carr, because I don't think you can sell the Texans on going back to another Carr at quarterback with all due respect.
Wait, why not? That was ancient. And, David Carr got screwed over by circumstance. He was a guy that never really had a chance.
Okay, here's the thing. The Texans, if you trade Deshaun Watson, period, that is going to be an unbreakable trust, a trust that you broke with your fans that some may never recover from. You come in and you trade Hopkins, Watt, and Deshaun Watson in the same year. Some people are just going to leave you forever. And if you try to replace him with Derek Carr, a mid-range quarterback, that to me just feels like...
He would be a bridge.
Does any human want to be that quarterback?
No, but right, if you're the number two situation. Overall pick, or you're Tua, or you're... I don't know who else it would be. It probably wouldn't be anyone, but like a superstar level quarterback. No, I think it's going to have to, I think you're going to have to be a little more than that. Then it feels like you're shooting for the middle.
All right, let's keep moving. All right, I've replaced the Raiders with the Rams. That's fun, right?
Yeah. Sure.
49ers, Greg.
Ooh.
Make the sell.
I mean, Deshaun, this is David, by the way. David Mulgeta. Everyone knows me. I don't know what he sounds like, but I'm David.
Actually, you nailed it. That's exactly what David Mulgeta sounds like.
I got two words for you, Deshaun Watson. Kyle Shanahan. Go watch some Kirk Cousins tape when he was with Kyle Shanahan. Go watch the money that Kirk Cousins made after playing with Kyle Shanahan. Go watch the Rookie of the Year season Robert Griffin III had with Kyle Shanahan. Go watch Nick Mullins put up better stats in his first 16 starts than you did, Deshaun Watson. Nick freaking Mullins. This is a team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, has a great defensive mindset, has great offensive personnel to support you with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and a running game. This team is ready to win the Super Bowl in 2021, the first season you're there, and to start a long, beautiful relationship. I'm out. I'm not even going to listen to you, Deshaun.
I don't think you need 2 minutes to sell that situation and the idea of pairing with Kyle Shanahan for the next decade plus.
Well, you trust the connection there, the coach quarterback connection, and Shanahan's bona fides speak for themselves. And then it satisfies for the 40 the team wise, like you're saying, you're an instant contender. And really, let's face it, if the 49ers landed Deshaun Watson in a trade, they would be the overwhelming favorite, I would think, to go to the Super Bowl next year. So the expectations are through the roof for better and worse, for better or worse. And then it does also helps the Texans, like we talked about. What would be the ideal situation for the Texans if they have to trade Deshaun Watson, get him out of sight, out of mind? You put him out there in the NFC West. It's still, listen, this is not baseball or other sports where a lot of fans are regionally minded. Deshaun Watson is going to be on the radar at all times in Houston, no matter where he goes. So, but it's just the idea of potentially facing him in regular season games and a playoff game. You don't want anything to do with that. So this makes so much sense. What's like the biggest obstacle here?
I don't see a huge obstacle unless the Niners are unwilling to part with the immense asking price. If that's just not
well,
how
they don't have a high, so they don't have a high pick. So that, they have.
But you could do that over years. I mean, anyone could come up with some package outside of the Texans if they were in the reverse situation.
I guess they have a fairly high pick though. So I guess
what is their pick? Where are they at?
I'm looking right now, but it's definitely
I feel like they're
in no man's land
to get a quarterback of their liking. They would probably have to make a move.
They have the 12th pick, but they also have a cheap bridge quarterback that Nick Caserio was involved in drafting in.
Well, that's what I was going to mention.
Jimmy
if you're Easterby and Nick Caserio, like Jimmy Garoppolo feels like an extension of this. They're building this fortress where it's like the scant few people that still believe in what they're doing are the only people they hire or entertain. Like, I don't, like,
poor,
Tua would be like, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm gonna give this coach a chance before we bury him. You know, John Harbaugh.
People are already talking about David Culley as a bridge to Josh McCown, that they really only want him for a couple years and then hire Josh McCown. I mean, I think that you went and got someone that's essentially forced into a yes man role, but Jimmy G would be someone I think that Caserio and Easterby would say, yeah, we could make that work on the
other
side.
He's a fun throw-in. At this point in the level, if in a trade level that we're talking about with Watson, Jimmy G is not the centerpiece of the trade. It's the draft.
No.
It's the draft picks. But the fact that you can throw him in and have a quarterback for next year if you wanted, potentially, I could see Caserio wanting.
I mean, that's the David Carr case as well, the Derek Carr case.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Only Derek Carr never misses games. And
no, I'd rather have Derek Carr. It's more
time.
That I could see potentially Caserio loving Jimmy G. Just like I can see the Patriots being totally all about getting Jimmy G back this offseason. Yeah, I really could.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. So that one makes a lot of sense. It is the draft pick. The teams that have that essentially lottery pick this year, I feel like, do have an advantage, but
NFC thing is interesting.
I just say one little quick thing about the immediate draft picks for this year? Like, do you really want to, like, they're in rebuilding mode. Like, having some of these first picks spread a little bit down the line make more sense to me than, like, oh, you're still going to stink 3 years from now, and you're going to be being asked about, like, options for your first round picks that are on a team that's still half baked. I don't know.
And we should say, like, Watson has a no trade clause. So it is possible that the Texans get a few teams that have worthwhile trade offers and that Watson is a part in choosing this team.
I've replaced the 49ers spot with the Steelers. That was a bad spin. All right, Panthers. All right, let me make this case. All right, here we go. Deshaun, what's up, baby?
What's up?
Speak to me, baby. I'm David Mungalis, your agent.
Malgetta.
David Malgetta. When David Malgetta speaks...
It's going well so far.
People listen. And if I pick up that call and I engage with the big man upstairs in Carolina, an owner who is completely obsessed with making splash moves, I think David Tepper is going to want to do something. And now I tell you that this is an organization you want to be connected to because they are going in the right direction. Matt Rhule, you saw what he's done. I know you've been following his college career, what he did at Baylor, and now what he did in his first year in Carolina. Players love playing for him. They just love him. He's one of those guys. He's an offensive-minded coach. He's the type of guy. You're not dealing with Bill O'Brien here. This is not a Bill O'Brien situation or a David Culley. You don't have to worry about Culley or a Josh McCown creeping around the corner. You know, and don't listen to like guys like Greg Rosenthal out there in the media that just want to tell you that David Culley's going to be all
right. I just want to give this guy a chance. Let's not take it personal with David Culley, okay?
Nobody has been in a worse position as a head coach entering the league since Jim Tomsula. Rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic is what Culley's doing. Matt Rhule is the future there. Like, he is locked and loaded. Ownership is in lockstep with the head coach, and there are weapons there. You ever hear of Christian McCaffrey? Imagine you and McCaffrey sharing a backfield together. We got some wide receiver pieces there, but they can get better. This is a great place to live. Charlotte, I mean, that's a wonderful area of the country. And I think you put it all together, this one makes sense. And you get a fresh break from everything and all the toxic culture with the Texans and the AFC South and the AFC in general. You just start fresh with an organization that's on the right path. The Panthers.
Well, and just how about the familiarity, you know, with the region? You know, going to college there. There's pictures
Clemson,
of
Clemson, right?
Pictures of Watson in a Panthers jersey with Cam Newton, an old Cam Newton fan. It's sort of the perfect. I think Miami has a little bit of this too, but I think it's the perfect balance of. Like, you kind of like where the organization's at, but if I was a player, I kind of like that it's a little more low-key media-wise, and just I think everyone's gonna be excited about Deshaun Watson wherever he goes, but he can be the king of the Carolinas.
How about the chance to work with Joe Brady? I love that you mentioned David Tepper. I mean, I would love to know exactly what Deshaun's lists are of, like, this is what the next organization must have, not just the money thing, but if you talk about an owner who's going to engage you and make you part of decision making and treat you with respect, and a coach, as you mentioned, Dan. I mean, it's a spicy landing spot, and I think the Texans would do it in a second over an AFC team.
Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel all had over 900 yards this year. Now, I'm not saying they're the three; it's the best wide receiver room in the league. But it also speaks to what Matt Rhule can create. If Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Rhule can do that with those three guys, like. Look out for the next 5 years.
I think he's going to want to win right away. I don't think he wants to walk into a deep rebuild necessarily unless it's real attractive for other reasons, and the Panthers could win right away with him.
Yeah, I think what you saw with Will Fuller this year definitely is something you think about too, because I put Fuller in a similar category to those Carolina receivers. They're all very good players that pair him with a truly great quarterback, and any of those guys can turn in an all-pro level year, which Fuller was on his way to before that. PED ban.
This is the one. Now that I'm clearly rooting for Deshaun Watson to get out of the AFC East. Don't need that particularly as a Patriots fan. I do like the Panthers quite a bit, and I like this whole thought. 49ers kind of fun too, but I like this Panthers thought.
Tepper wants to. He's already put a big stamp on this organization since he came in. He's basically cleared out everybody and installing his own vision. You would think the next move, if he could make a. This would be like a kingmaker move to bring in the 25-year-old, 26-year-old franchise.
And they said they would aggressively go after players like this, the Panthers themselves. So I mean,
and
it's aligning.
Not to build off this mythology that's centered around this particular owner, but he was known as like this massive shark on Wall Street, and he gets what he wants, and he takes big risks, and you know, even Rhule, like, he would not let him out of his building, and you know, he's known for. I'm a guy. I could just picture it. Listen.
This is it.
I'm a guy who gets what he wants.
We're not allowed to do this, but there are different people that are interested in picking the teams. And I know that Watson kind of put the Jets and the Dolphins at his top. So that shows his priorities. I mean, supposedly the Jets and the Dolphins are atop his list. But if I was someone just picking where he would go, now I'm feeling the Carolina. I'm feeling that as the underdog pick. That's some good value there.
What a roller coaster just hearing Greg, you know, speak this stuff out. I love it. All right, here we go. Let's keep spinning. Finally, New York Jets. Do I want to make this up? I feel like I should make this up.
No, I'll do it. Is that okay?
You want to do it?
No, I'm kidding. I would. Yeah.
Dan, make it.
You'll have plenty of time to get it.
Hey, look at the last 20 years, taste. Deshaun. Look at this. Look at what this ownership group has done.
I am David Mulgata, and let me start here. Hey, look at the last 20 years, Deshaun. Look at that team. That team needs a hero. You're a hero. We know you're a hero. That's why Dabo Swinney said way back in the day, you're Michael Jordan. New York, imagine Michael Jordan in New York. Imagine what that'd be like. And don't listen to all these people like those Greg Rosenthals out there in the media who say, oh, it's the NFL. It doesn't matter what the market is.
This agent cannot stand Greg.
Forget about all that.
I'm the one who knew his name. It showed some respect. Come on.
Yeah, he does. He respects you enough to know who you are. This is everything. This is the dream marketing scenario for you. And you have a situation there. And I know you've already told me privately how much you respect Robert Saleh and what he would mean to you, having a coach that is a motivator of men, someone you respect. And I know you haven't had a lot of that. So we can give you that in New York. We can give you maximize your earnings potential. And yes, you're not afraid to go to a team that needs a lot of work because you feel you are the man to fix everything over there. You'll fix the Jets. And with their leadership, it's different. It is not what it was a few years ago. Joe Douglas is a guy that is well-respected, and he's making the right moves right now. And they've changed their structure over there. In terms of who reports to who. It's Joe Douglas's show. He hired his guy in Robert Saleh. So you could respect the team builder, the head coach. The market is wonderful. They have the assets that they could send back to Houston without crippling their future because they are so filled, chock full of number one picks. You can get there and be the hero that New York needs. And just imagine if you became the next Joe Namath. I know that's a name that some people your age, it doesn't really connect with, but I know that you're somebody who understands history and what that would mean. Gobs of money. Great place to play. The hero of New York City. That's a city that hasn't had a champion in a long time now. It's been a while. You could be that hero.
Mm.
Come. Come to us. I'm based out in New York City.
I
like it.
Deshaun, you started, you know, you just opened this restaurant in Houston. I mean, what better place to open a restaurant than the East Village? Let's do it. Let's get creative. How about Brooklyn? Whatever. The food's going to be great. You're right. I mean, NFL players, I think, you know, you can become a superstar like Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes anywhere. But I do think Deshaun Watson in New York would be as big, you know, as big as it gets.
They have, you know, the third most cap room right now in the league. So you could pitch that while you're giving up a lot of, you know, draft capital, which really shouldn't be Deshaun Watson's concern. They're not stuck in a terrible place to add talent anyways. And Robert Saleh changes everything. I think they had no selling point when we first brought this up and we had no idea who they'd hire. I just thought they had no selling point for because like the one thing you'd have to point out is that if ownership is super important, the Jets have a really sketchy ownership track record right now, but they do have a GM and a coach that you can buy into.
Hmm. Not a lot of weapons, you know, offensive line. Like in this
they have a lot of roster work to do. But the fact the Jamal Adams trade, as painful as it was, really sets them up well here with the number two pick and then those two picks. So the number two pick means, obviously, to the Texans, hey, you could if you really want to find your next quarterback, you could have anyone you want in this class that's not obviously Trevor Lawrence. So if you fall in love with one of these guys, Zach Wilson out of BYU, Justin Fields out of Ohio State, he's there if you want it.
Yep.
You could also take that number two pick and then trade it yourself and flip it for more draft capital for another team that loves it. And so that's such a powerful pick to have dangled in the trade. And then because of the Adams deal, the Jets could give up number one picks and not put themselves in a situation like Bill O'Brien did to the Texans, where they're just barren for years and they don't have a pick draft after draft. And obviously it would deplete their what they've built up in that surplus. But that's, to me, what this has always been about. When you dealt Adams, it was to have this cachet of picks to make a move. And I think it makes a lot of sense for the Jets, obviously. And Watson, if he has the – it's kind of like the dice roll for Watson in all this. The ones we've brought up before make a lot of sense logically in terms of checking a lot of boxes. But I feel like this one could have the highest reward if it worked out.
Well, I think the fact that, you know, reputable reporters are all saying that the Jets are number one says a lot about where Watson's mindset is, where his and his agent's mindset is. And I think it's all about New York, you know, the city. I mean, it can't really be. I mean, I'm in solitude, but I think the New York factor of it all has to be it, that he wants to go live there. He wants to be that guy, right? Or else why would they be atop the list otherwise? It's got to be New York.
Right.
It can't all be Salah. I can't buy that.
No, the lure of New York for an athlete, I mean, has made sense forever. And I mean, they've talked about Deshaun Watson's hung out in the village. He likes New York and stuff. So, I mean, I would separate, Dan, saying that you think that the highest reward for Deshaun Watson is in New York. I mean, the highest reward is winning Super Bowls. So it's like the only thing I'd say about something like San Francisco the foundation is there in San Francisco with a coach who's been to a Super Bowl.
I'm saying winning a Super Bowl is part of it, but to maximize your branding and to be something of a legend in, you know, the biggest city in the country, I think he thinks, Deshaun Watson, that wherever he goes, I have a chance to win the Super Bowl because I'm that special, and if you surround me with the right talent. So then what else can you add to that? But yes, I think in terms of the odds of getting a Super Bowl championship, with nine.
As a fan, being a fan of a New York team, or a Miami team, those are built-in advantages to getting these players. That if you live in Cincinnati, you're not getting those players. So logically it would pay off for the Jets fans and NFL circles.
I wanted to know if Caserio cares about the fact that it's the Jets. I think it's an X factor. Whether A, Easterby and Caserio might have some ill will to the Patriots, who knows? Although, you know, Bill Belichick.
Caserio, though?
Yeah, I don't think Caserio would logically. And Bill Belichick, you know, puts this flowery thing out, you know, and about how important Nick Caserio has been. That said, they didn't let them go to the Texans the time before. Caserio ultimately chose Easterby over staying in New England. And these trades do come down, you know, partly to relationships and like who you want to trade with. So that's an X factor no one probably knows except for them on the inside.
All right, I'm going to spin the wheel two more times. I'm going to add the Patriots and the Cowboys. We have
juice.
Patriots, football team, Cowboys, Rams, Steelers. You guys got that? Okay, here we go.
Look at that. Look at the image. All right.
Football team.
All right, I'll do this one.
Okay.
So, Deshaun, David again. It's been a busy day. Been hearing a lot, you know, from the football team in Washington. They're making the sell. They're making the pitch to me. Ron Rivera, new era. Look at the success they already have. Tough up front. Nation's capital. Gonna do it all. I gotta admit, I've heard it all. I'm not into it. I say
Mulgata.
No. I say Mulgata's making the choice. I'm looking at
Mulnada.
I'm looking at the last 20 years since this ownership came over. I'm looking at some of the things, even though Ron Rivera's, you know, help turn the ship around a little bit, that I don't love the way that they brought in Marty Herney and then kind of finagled that, okay, he's not actually the GM. I want an organization I can trust, and I know I'm supposed to be pitching on it, but this is a relationship. You got to trust me, Deshaun, and I don't want to put you in a tough situation. So I don't care how many draft picks, how much money they're offering. I do not want to go to the Washington football team.
That doesn't get my engine revving as a football fan either. I mean, obviously I want him to go to the Jets, but if he goes to Washington, I don't know. Maybe it would be awesome. I don't know. But
if there's another team out there that would give me some Texans vibes in that. I would be. I know. Look, I know Ron Rivera's great and all this stuff, but I don't know. I'm not into it.
All right, let's spin the wheel again. Greg, Mark, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that, like, why go from the Texans to an even more bizarre, thornier, controversy-laden ownership
scenario? Plus, there was the whole attack on, you know, the White House and everything. Is it safe there? There's a lot going on.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Just joking.
All right, here we go. Here we go. All right.
With that blank team, do nothing. I like that.
All right. Mark, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Oh, wow.
What's not to love about the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, you grew up a football fan.
Well, the last 25 years.
I don't need to sell you. I don't. Well, but that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yep.
That's the whole point. Because Jerry Jones is an owner, number one, beloved by his players. I mean, if anything, between you and me, Deshaun, like, his loyalty to some of his players may have been one of his bigger faults. He loves to spend money, big money, on all sorts of players. And, you know, they've got the Dak Prescott situation right now, but I think that this is a really pretty seamless, incredible solution to that. Would keep you in Texas, but think about the organizational switch you'd be making from a Texans team that is not even a little brother to the Cowboys. It's just the Texans have essentially never really accomplished anything. You go to the most storied franchise in the league, one that has not won a Super Bowl since 1995. But regardless, guys like Tony Romo are revered. All quarterbacks, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, I could tell you this, not only would you have a career there where you could win immediate Super Bowls with a team that will always find a way to sign players, and you already are walking into an offense with Ezekiel Elliott and the best wide receiving group in the NFC, if you want to look at it that way, you could be the heir apparent to Troy Aikman, all right, to Roger Staubach, to so many Cowboys greats. And you move right into a Monday Night Football booth after that. And I'm telling you right now, this is you changing the history of the NFL forever. I mean, I cannot think of pairing. I cannot think of a better pairing than you in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. It's every little boy's dream before they pick a team of their own. It's the one brand that is worldwide, as big as any sports team out there, and bigger than most any company. This could be you as the centerpiece of it. And yes, that would be tough as a rookie. But you right now, the Deshaun Watson we know, you could handle it. And you could turn the Dallas Cowboys into an annual Super Bowl team. This is the place to go. It's why it's the last one we're doing. Bye.
Yeah, this is the brand sell that trumps, obviously, even the Raiders. And especially a guy that has now played his entire pro career in Texas. They're in very different, you know, if you know Texas at all, there's hundreds of miles that separate Houston from Dallas, which is in North Texas. But still, you can't escape the specter of the Cowboys and how huge everything is around Dallas. So I would think that would be attractive to him. He would stay somewhat local and he would have a chance to now be on still, despite the 25 years without a Super Bowl appearance, still the team that is always on prime time and always gets the love. And B, similar to how I was talking about the Jets, like, you could be the guy who goes there and returns the Cowboys to prominence and makes them a champion again. When you factor in the playmakers too. Yeah. I don't know if Ezekiel Elliott's part of the future, especially once you have to give Dak the money to Deshaun Watson that you're giving to Dak. I guess my question to you, Greg, is we all love, Deshaun Watson, is it that big an upgrade to make the move and surrender all the draft capital to go from Dak to Deshaun?
Well, maybe you wouldn't have to give as much up. You shouldn't, as another team, if Dak Prescott's part of the deal. I love
probably it. Still number one or maybe two number ones, right?
I don't know. Number one. Here's the thing. I don't think... I love this deal more than any other for Houston, because the only way to me that it makes any sense to trade away a player like Deshaun Watson is if you're getting the top 10 quarterback back, and I'd much rather have Dak Prescott than the number two overall.
You could sell that to your fans.
Overall pick. It makes all the sense in the world. That said, these two franchises, I know that there's been a legit sort of rivalry between the ownerships that the, you know, that they're fighting for the same territory. The Texans fans are trying to get Cowboys fans become Texans fans when they move to Houston. And it's a little hard to imagine, but from the Houston side, I think it makes more sense than anything. And from the Dallas side, who's always been like slightly more lukewarm on Dak Prescott than seemingly they should be, it makes a lot of sense too. I mean, I love it. I love it sort of for the NFL. It sends you to the NFC too, which you think the Texans would love. Like, it's just crazy enough to work if the ownership can, you know, get over the fact that you're delivering Dallas Cowboys Deshaun Watson, which I don't know if they could get over that.
That's tough.
I don't know
if that's tough to swallow. Yeah, I don't know. Because even if you do get back Dak, and the fans will be, I think, somewhat pleased by if we have to trade our superstar, we can get one back, and he's a guy that everyone loves in Dak. But to keep him in Texas and to make him now the center, he'll be, like we said, in prime
time.
Fans
might revolt. Fans might revolt. I mean,
yeah,
no, you want to send him to Antarctica.
I don't think they're going to do it, even with Dak there. Dak is the only thing that makes it even remotely plausible. But the idea of the Texans, who are a little brother in that state to the Cowboys, ever giving him their greatest player ever, I just can't see it.
So Easterby and Caserio have no link to the Cowboys Texans rivalry, but I would think Cal McNair would.
Right, exactly. And
he would.
Yeah, I think the Texans really do have to think about the impact they're making with their fans over the next 15 years if you're getting rid of Watson and Watt in the same offseason.
Well, you mean start thinking about it, because they haven't clearly given that a second of thought. I mean, I can't think of a team that more coldly is acting like we don't care about the fans.
I'd much rather have Deshaun Watson, but to me, Dak Prescott a first and whatever, a little more, I think it's not crazy. That's how highly, you know, I think Dak Prescott should be viewed as a top 10 quarterback moving forward.
All right. That's good. That was fun. I think we got 7 or 8 teams.
Yeah.
Knocked out there.
I mean, Steelers, you know, calm down. You're probably not getting them. Steelers fans.
The only one I would say, I don't know if they have the capital, but Deshaun Watson in a Broncos uniform with that offense the way it is would be intriguing to me. Although, I don't know, Deshaun Watson and Pat Shurmur don't feel like they're going to go down in the record books together, so you'd have to make some tweaks.
Them and the Lions are the teams, I think, that have the most – that are in position to be super aggressive. But
Dan, what would you do if I'm just saying, this is not impossible. This is the most second most cap room in the league and future picks, the Patriots. Easterby and Caserio pulling, to a point where Pink Pony is not even a joke. It's just simply come to fruition as the most annoying thing in the league.
I mean, it would, number one, it'd be terrible. Number two, I don't stress about it too much because it feels like Texans, again, if you're at all factoring in where your fan base is at, you already feel like you've been losing for a decade plus this attempt to be Patriots South. And if you then were to send your greatest quarterback ever to the Patriots, what kind of business is that to do? That
right.
would be
but send them would, any send them anywhere is bad business.
Here's the
I
thing
know,
though, they've
but
been
there,
acting
there are places that are worse than others, and the Patriots to me are on that list that it would come off even more poorly than other teams.
That Mike Tomlin has that quote, like, don't live in your fears, you know. I mean, he was kind of living in his fears when he punted on 4th-and-1 from the 48. But to me, that's where the Texans have been. They've been living in their fears. And I really put some stock into this whole AFC thing. I really think that's them living in their fears, and they're going to do whatever they can because they're, like, just acting out of cowardice almost, and that is going to help these NFC teams that want them.
Could be that way. All right, that's it for the week. No network show this week. We'll be back on, what are we doing, Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Right? Tuesday.
Right, so Tuesday, next time you hear from us, Tuesday. We also have a special Super Bowl week show planned that will connect us with the listeners. Maybe we'll share details of that on Tuesday. Because I don't have it in front of me right now.
We should share it now. So
all right, Ricky, why don't you set the table then?
Yeah, so we are going to be doing a virtual show, not a live show. So there's only going to be a limited amount of tickets that are able to go. It's going to be free. It's like a Zoom webinar you can log in for. We're thinking next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, and that's whenever, over wherever you are internationally. And just, we haven't locked down registration links or anything like that. So keep an eye on the ATN podcast on Instagram, Around the NFL on Twitter, our personal handles. We will be posting this on social. So okay. Peep so, this space.
So yeah, it'll be an invite only, a little extra show, and we'll send it out on social.
Very
Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday 11 a.m. Pacific.
Slow. I would just DM Erica if information is not getting to you as quick as you need it. Hit her up one on one, and she can give you the personal attention and get you probably in there get into the cut, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Very interactive. It'll feature a mailbag and Q&A with those who are in that room with us. So that's cool. So we'll have that show next week, and we'll also have other podcast goodness, including our Super Bowl preview show on Thursday. And then, of course, Sunday night, Super Bowl Sunday, the final flagship show of the season where we recap the big game. So a lot coming up this week. Thank you to everybody who's listened all season long and, you know, all these years. Love you guys. All right. That's it. It's Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. The old boss. Oh, there it is again. This reminds me of every bad club I had to go to in college.
Like, oh, where are we going to tonight? Be in one of those clubs,
Boston.
Right now.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I can see
where
that.
Are we going tonight? Are we going to a bar? No, we're going. You know, we're going to Lansdowne. We're going to a club. It's like, oh, not again. You just got through it. That was part of the culture back then.
I thought it was fun sometimes.
Sometimes you had to be in the right mindset.
Depends what happens to you, but I mean, anything could happen.
Ricky, does this sound like a ladies' night?
Yeah, it sounds like I would do disgusting things to be able to get back to Lansdowne Street. Anywhere.
Ladies' night. Ladies drink free. Ladies, ladies, ladies. The desperation to get women into clubs and bars by promoters is one of the funniest things. All right. Dan Hansa signing off. Poor Quiet Storm. Ricky Hollywood. Ricky Lansdowne, I call her. Quiet Storm. And the great Henry Hotchin. Until Tuesday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.